Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a conference finals week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Bridges, six to shoot, slings it over to Hart. His three, good! Tying the NBA playoff record for threes and a half. That's 18 for the Knicks.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, conference finals week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only. Or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM. The Fan. 1080 AM. The Odyssey app. Live on YouTube.
180.
Figure I slip one of those in there because we got a lot of football stuff to get to over the next hour of the radio show. The Big Ten baseball tournament has officially kicked off in Omaha. Swag alerted me to it. I'm watching USC Michigan State. And I'm pretty sure if the camera panned out that we could count during this segment how many people are in attendance of this tournament. Somebody just hit a fly ball to the outfield. And I'm not kidding you. I don't think there's a single person sitting in the outfield seats. There's got to be less than 50 people at this game. What are we doing playing this? Like, I got family in Omaha. I love, you know, my mom went to Nebraska. I have Husker red bleeding through my, or running through my blood, if you will. I'm a big Omaha guy, big Lincoln guy. I get it. Well, why is the Big Ten tournament there? This is insanity.
I don't know. Nebraska's playing Michigan. It'll be 5 p.m. local time. That's the game right before the Ducks.
I'm sure there'll be some Nebraska fans there.
So the Nebraskans are they're hardworking people.
Who's traveling to a conference tournament for baseball? What level of degenerate fan do you have to be?
Well, normally it's a lot of family and friends. So you got that
of
the team.
I get.
Those
family
people are there in their sweatshirts.
That I get. If you're a fan,
outside of that,
why would you just wait to go to the regional?
See, I don't see, like, locally, like, all the Omahans?
No, that can't be it.
Careful.
What do you call people from Omaha? Let's look that one up. What are they called? I should text my family. What do you call?
Yes.
Hold on. Omahans.
Yes.
Omahans. Omahans.
Not Hoans.
Omahans is kind of dumb. But let's be honest.
I don't know who creates that nomenclature, frankly.
Yeah, that's kind of a dumb one.
No. I don't know how many seats they want, but the Hops new ballpark would be fantastic.
Yeah, dude, it's 80
degrees
here today.
And I would think people would love to come to the Portland area.
I don't know about Rutgers fans for the Big Ten tournament, but, you know, who really cares about them? They shouldn't be in the Big Ten
anyways.
You're
out there. Trust
it's
me.
On you.
Your team gets knocked out early. Go to the coast. Yeah. Go wine tasting.
Do some stuff.
Make a week out of it.
I crack up. We talked about earlier this week the Big Ten presidents and ADs are doing their spring meetings, and it's at a coastal retreat on the ocean in Los Angeles.
Of course.
And some, you know, five-star resort with a golf course. And
yeah,
it's like,
they're not.
So the presidents and ADs go there.
In a Marriott ballroom in Des Moines, Iowa.
Let's make the Oregon baseball team wait around until midnight for a rain delay in Omaha, Nebraska. That sounds fantastic. We have a lot to get to in this hour of radio. Welcome back, everybody. No Sprague. Somebody asking, did Brandon and Brandon get fired and Swag is back? No, they did not get fired.
No,
they're still
no.
here. I'm actually playing golf with Brandon today. We're popping our golf cherry.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's a golf guy.
Excellent.
I mentioned having a tee time, and he was like, dude, you know, kind of, he flew, you know, put the trial balloon up in the air of like, you know, yeah. I haven't played in a while. And I'm like, well, do you want to play on Friday?
No, I thought about.
So I'll report back on this game.
Because I know before you left, you because Sprague was, you know, taking shots at you for not including him. And you're like, I get the foursome.
You book, and then.
I figure out who might be able to play. And I thought about saying it, but.
Yeah, you never know. I didn't know when you were going to be back. And
yeah.
Give yourself a day and go play golf this weekend. You know, let's catch our breath a little bit, get our feet underneath us. Hey, man, public tee times are not easy to grab.
No, they're not.
You got to snag those things, and then you ask for permission and find people later.
Yeah.
And quite often it becomes a sprint because it's hard. Everybody's got kids and jobs. And I book tee times in the middle of the day on Friday. Like, not many
I might need a driving range or two session before
I
think I played one round this spring so far with all that's gone on. So
I got a few more rounds under my belt, but I also need a range session. So I'm playing. Brandon did not get fired. Sprague's out 4-day weekend. It's his daughter's birthday. He'll be back on Tuesday. How about this? Let's get this out of the way right now.
Yes.
So I don't forget. How about if you text the word journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y. That's how you spell it, journey. Yes. Don't stop believing. 503-864-6326. You'll be entered for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Journey on September 19th of this upcoming September at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. 1051thefan.com. For complete details, again, text journey to 503-864-6326.
Is this their final?
I don't know.
Because they keep saying...
I don't know.
Are they together? I don't know how many final two. No, I think it's the...
Is Perry singing?
No. I think it's the little Filipino guy that they found.
Okay.
And I will say, I saw them one time years ago when they came through the amphitheater out in Clark County.
Sans Perry or with Perry?
No. Okay. I did not see him there. But they had just found, because they dispersed and then they didn't go. And then they found this guy off of YouTube karaoke stuff.
Right.
And he's amazing. He might be 5 feet tall.
Tiny guy, huh?
Bundle of energy running around the floor. And boy, he can pull it off. They did a concert out there with Heart and Cheap Trick.
Oh,
it was amazing.
It was a good show.
It was a great show.
Last time I saw Steve Perry was at a World Series game. I remember him singing
the national anthem.
He did the anthem, and then they when the lights go down in the city, they play that sometimes.
Is that their seventh inning song?
They do it, I think, depending on winning or I don't know if they still do it anymore, but it used to be like if they're losing, they'd play Don't Stop Believin', and if they're winning, they would play When the Lights Go Down in the City. And so he did a live rendition of it during the World Series. I haven't seen him since then. That was quite a long time ago. So there you go. Journey to the fan text line.
Perfect.
Boom goes the dynamite. Let's get to some college football nuggies, shall we?
All right.
Nothing like a good threat from the old South to secede. And we'll get to that in a moment because a president at one of the universities came out yesterday and was like, yeah, we'll do our own thing. But before we get to that, let's get to the thoughts from an athletic director. So, Sprague and I have debated this over the years. I never put much stock in the idea of it happening, and I'm not changing my stance on it despite what one president is saying. But primarily for the idea that it's not feasible in my mind, and I don't see how it works because I think you're going to get this stance. And this stance comes to you. And I'm glad that somebody stood up and said it, and I hope they all start standing up and saying it. And even if my conference and my school is involved in this, like, dude, you want to go do your own thing? Pound sand. You're the Big Ten champion, being a national champion. Get the hell out of here, right? This is the athletic director. Jamie Pollard is the AD at Iowa State. Now, I don't know if they're having Big Ten meetings. I don't know where this came from.
Sprague, Big 12 meetings?
Or Big 12 meetings, yeah. I don't know if it's from that or a radio hit. I'm not 100% certain. Sprague pulled it the other day. We didn't play it yesterday. I wanted to get to it today. And this is the Big Ten and SEC always float. We'll go do our own thing. We'll go do it. 24, we'll go do our own thing.
Knock yourselves out.
And here is Jamie Pollard.
And we spent a lot of money. The four commissioners spent a lot of money creating the CSC. And so then to have two of the conferences not want to adhere to it is perplexing to me. Because then it's like, well, why did we spend the money? If you didn't want rules, then why did you create this entity? That's what's frustrating to me. The same people that say they want rules only want rules if they don't apply to them. I mean, I said it 3 years ago. Let them break away. I would turn it around and say we should break away from them. Let them go, you know, but they have to go in all their sports and see how fun it is to play baseball and softball and track when it's just the 20 of you, you know, and that's what I think we should do. But I'm one person, and, you know, that's probably a little more draconian. But that's how I feel about it. Like, let's quit talking about it. Quit threatening. Go do it. But if you're going to do it, you don't get to just do it in football and then keep all your other sports with us. No, take them all. See how fun it is.
I love those comments. So that's Jamie Pollard. And the CSC thing that he is talking about is the clearinghouse funding for NIL expenditures, right? So they have this new governing body.
That's getting sued out the yin-yang.
Nebraska filed a lawsuit because some of their players didn't get the money approved.
So they were overwhelmed. They didn't expect as much activity. They were understaffed. Stuff wasn't getting done in time. So there's some suits about, we need an answer.
Yes.
And then there's some suits that are, you don't have the jurisdiction to do this.
Right. So anything over a $600 NIL agreement is supposed to be submitted to this for clearance of saying, okay, that's approved.
$600 seems a little low. I don't know where that number necessarily came from.
Now, some of the details that have come out on this over the week or the last couple of weeks has essentially been like the Big Ten and the SEC are not clearing, shockingly, all of their money through the CSC.
Kidding.
They're doing whatever they want and essentially saying,
yeah,
what are you going to do about it? And so that's where this comes from the Iowa State AD. And then you get the idea of them breaking off and doing their own thing. And this is ironic because he said this a couple days ago. And then yesterday, This is, who is, what's his name? Let me find this.
Yeah, which
Moorhead.
School?
What the hell is his first name? Georgia president, something Moorhead. I got to find his first name. Anyways, Moorhead is his last name. He's the president of Georgia.
President Moorhead.
President Moorhead at SEC meetings. We're getting ready. And basically, he was asked about the idea of like, hey, a playoff format. You guys don't want 24, but the Big Ten does. How do you feel about this? Now, nothing will happen before the 2031 season because that's how long the current CFP agreement has been signed on for. And he was asked about, hey, do you think the SEC could just do their own thing and run their own playoff? And he said, quote, I think that would be fantastic. I can't imagine the ratings if that happened. Georgia-Alabama SEC championship last year had ratings through the roof. Imagine if that had been for the national championship. I think our fan bases are strong across the country. I think we'd have tremendous interest in a situation of that nature. But again, I'm going to be listening to the commissioner. And it just led so many people to be reminded of the Jamie Pollard quote. First off, that's not a national championship.
No, that's an SEC championship.
You have not had a team in the national championship in the last 3 years.
Yep.
It's been 3 years now where you have not put a team in the title game. Now, that's an aberration, right? It's not, I don't have this thought of like the SEC's doomed and they'll never win again. That's ludicrous. They'll find the right collection and at some point they'll break through. Ole Miss damn near beat Miami, right? Georgia has come close against Notre Dame. They've had, you know, close games that haven't gone their way. That's the beauty of football. This idea that we would just turn around and pretend as if you won a national title, we would just be essentially going back to an era of college football pre-1998.
Yeah.
It would be going back to, hey, Michigan and Nebraska both won a national championship. What do you mean? Well, they didn't play each other because there wasn't a title game.
Exactly.
But one won the Orange Bowl and the other one won the Rose Bowl, and they're both national champions. What? Hey, Washington and Miami, congratulations. How do you both win it?
Was
what?
It Georgia Tech and Colorado?
Georgia Tech and Colorado. Like, it happened too many times to count pre-1998 BCS when they finally started playing a national championship game. It is absolutely ludicrous to think, one, this is actually going to happen. I will refuse to put any stock in it. ESPN just bought the rights to the SEC. They are paying God knows how much. I know the numbers are out there. I don't have it off the top of my head. An insane amount of money to have the rights to the SEC.
Yeah. Like
billions of dollars over however many years. You think ESPN's going to be cool just turning around and being like, wait a minute, you know that Texas-Ohio State non-conference game? They're not playing that anymore. Hey, you know that playoff game or the SEC champ, you know, like all the different things that you would lose in a pathway to the playoff?
Right.
What would ESPN do for the playoff rights?
Yep.
Would they buy the other playoff and also buy the SEC playoff? This is absurd. It would not happen. And I hope that more people take the tune of a Jamie Pollard who come out and say,
you want to go do your own thing? Go do your own thing.
Go do it, man.
Yeah.
You want to find swim meets with just SEC and Big Ten schools?
Sure.
By all means, go for it. But you're not playing local schools.
Golf track meets.
Like, that is so... Yeah. it's like the idea of it happening. It's ludicrous all over this dumb bickering idea of... Like, I'm using the joke to secede because that's essentially what they would want to do is break away and do their own thing over the dumbest stuff. Like, let's just stay at 12. If it's a 2014 playoff as a breaking point, then by all means,
what are the units that they get currently in the college football playoff? What are the units that they get in the NCAA basketball tournament?
Right. What would it do for the basketball tournament?
Okay. You guys?
Yes. Yeah. This idea that you could just do it in football and every other conference would go along with it and be like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll still schedule volleyball games against you. No.
Like,
they all need to come out and put their foot down and say, if you're going to do it, you're doing it in every sport. It's not feasible, so you can't do it in every sport. That's why you don't want to do it in every sport. You just want to do it in football. I also like talk about the idea of breaking the sport apart officially. I know there's been a lot of cracks in the foundation. I understand the NIL stuff and the transfer portal. And it's the rich get rich. Like, I get a lot of the criticisms. I also think the sport, to a certain extent, because of all those issues, has become a little more balanced at the top, and more teams have had a chance to compete, and it's not a consolidation of talent in the SEC. So while it's a negative for some, it's a positive for others. This would be the death of the sport.
Yep.
Because from a football perspective, would I watch SEC games still? Like, yeah, sure, I guess. It's football on a Saturday. Like, I love football.
Yeah, you're still going to trip over it. I mean, ESPN and ABC,
yes.
I don't know if they doing that triggers some out clause that they would be able to at least cancel the future contracts and they would have to renegotiate.
Why would ESPN even want them to, like, that would be ludicrous for them. They're getting so much money that I don't know why they would even want to do it. But to your point, yeah, maybe there's an out there. It would be the fracture of the sport that it would never recover from. If you separated and did your own thing and pretended as if you're a league of your own and we're only going to crown an SEC champion every year. We're taking our ball and we're going home because we can't compete with some of the big dollars that are existing in the Big Ten. Like, we didn't do this to the SEC when they dominated the sport for 15 years. They dominated every aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Outside of a Florida State title and a Clemson title, like, random one-offs, the SEC won every national championship essentially for, like, two decades. And, the Pac-12, hey, we're just going to go do our own thing. Let's have Stanford versus Washington be our national championship this year. It's just such a dumb idea on the surface. I still don't believe it'll actually happen because of the dollars and the TV revenue and all of that. It's just more blustering and threatening. And if more ADs come out and say, you're doing it in all sports, or if you do it, we're going to refuse to play you in other sports, then maybe the message gets through. But I'm just, it's one of those debates that I'm kind of tired of having. And I hope it goes away. We'll get an answer on the playoff at some point. The SEC does not seem like it's going to budge. They're in a weird spot because the coaches all want 24. I think the ADs want 24. But the president's commissioner, and they're all saying, no, we don't want 24. It's just, you're in this weird spot right now where we want more access, but we don't want more access. And the SEC's trying to pretend that we have this gauntlet. Look, we got to go to Mississippi State and play them. That's a hard game right there. It's just, yeah. Anyways, the back and forth is getting a little tiring. I don't think anybody's going to break away, but there's your latest out of the SEC and the Big 12. Jamie Pollard saying, dude, take your ball and go home. We're done with you. And the president of Georgia saying, we'll do it. It'd be fantastic. Crown a national champion.
Yeah.
You mean the Georgia team who lost their first playoff game? No, they did lose to an SEC team, to be fair to them. But they did. Georgia's won back-to-back SEC title games and has not won a playoff game in each of the last 2 years in a 12-team playoff field. So, just pointing that out, SEC. We do have a lot to get to still in this hour of radio. I'm going to stick. I got a lot of college football stuff in the notes today. There was a piece that came out, Dante Moore giving some insight on his decision to come back and some of the guys who were healthy and all of that. So, I'm going to dive into that a little bit later on in this hour. We will get to, there were some numbers through a Freedom of Information Act request that came out about the idea of how much money is the group of six teams paying for football. It was really good news for the Pac-12 or Pac-8 or whatever we're going to call it. So we'll get to that a little bit later on in this hour. Let's get to, though, a coach who continues to be salty, ironically, out of the SEC. The hypocrisy is at its finest. I'll tell you who he is, what he said, who he's taking a shot at now, and also the numbers behind it to make it even funnier. A little more college football. That is next. Happy Friday, everybody. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM The Fam.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a good chuckle in the middle of the last segment. We were ranting and raving about why is the Big Ten baseball tournament in Omaha? And right in the middle of the last segment, they do a pan-out shot of the stadium and the dozens of people there, the dozens of us who were in attendance of the game, were heading up for the concourse. Why? Because the clouds opened up and it was pouring down rain. They were all bolting up the stairs. Game continued, though. USC and Michigan State are playing right now. Just funny. What are we doing? We got a lot to get to. College football related still in this hour. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. I got a couple more NFL things to get to, including a surprising team who was favored in the vast majority of their games this year, and a funny broadcasting note that I thought that you would enjoy.
Oh.
About a guy who applied for a job and got a pretty funny response that didn't make a lot of sense. So that's still still to come in this hour of radio. A little football heavy for you. Can we answer the question, who peed in Steve Sarkisian's Cheerios?
I don't know.
Who took a steaming dump in this guy's breakfast, man?
I don't know. What's he popping off about? I mean,
eat your own butt.
He was piling on Ole Miss.
Ole Miss out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Like, that's like a staged WWE thing. There's a thing going on, and then like all of a sudden somebody rushes out of the locker room.
What's the deal, man?
And jumps in the ring off the top turnbuckle.
Hey, wait a minute. We made the college football playoff last year. Our coach left us, and you're going to take shots at us?
Yeah.
After all we've been through?
Yeah.
You're Texas. We're Ole Miss. Get out of here, man.
You got a Manning at quarterback. What are you complaining about?
I have seen people with the idea that I'll tell you what he said in a moment. Him popping off this much maybe means that he's super confident in his team. Like, I can run my mouth a little bit.
Either that or he's totally on the hot seat.
Just trying to lash out and blame other things. So, again, back to this debate over this, you know, this stupid playoff format, this never-ending debate that will never go away. And it was the idea of the College Football Playoff Committee viewing strength of schedule. I don't know how this came up. He was doing an interview with Anwar Richardson who works for, he's the orangebloods.com guy, okay?
Oh, okay.
So he's a team-friendly reporter, and they're talking about, you know, how do you factor in, you know, Texas, let's remember last year, 9-3 in the regular season.
Right.
They played Ohio State in week one, lost a close game. Yes. Ohio State went on to, you know, be in the Big Ten title and then lose in the college football playoff, but a good program, right? Defending national champs. They lose a close game. That's one of their losses. Their whole argument at the end of the year was, well, if we would have just scheduled Old Dominion like Indiana did, we would have been in the playoff.
And they do have a point.
They're not wrong.
And would it have been more fun if they were in versus James Madison?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course it would have been.
But don't lose three games.
And the other argument is you lost to Florida. And Florida sucked. And they fired Billy Napier. Yeah. And so, like, you know, on the one hand, you're right. On the other hand, shut up. So both sides can be true. So this idea of the strength of schedule, which is the never-ending part of that debate.
Right. And the problem in college football is you play most of your games in your conference.
Yes.
And there's not enough of them with all the teams involved to very easily, statistically, analytically be able to compare.
And this is, I've always argued, you can't just look at the number next to a team and say that's who they are. Because sometimes you're 7-0 and you haven't played a team over 500
all year. And the SEC has done this where they get, you know, 10 teams ranked after their non-conference stuff. And then when you're all playing each other, because Mississippi State will all of a sudden sneak in and they're the 25th ranked team.
Right,
and all of a sudden, you know, your number four team in the conference says, we have six ranked wins.
Right.
And you go back and look.
I'm like, well, they were 3-0 and they finished 7-5.
Exactly.
So they're not ranked at the end of the year. That doesn't really compute. It's just, there's no right way to do it. There's no wrong way to do it. And everybody's free to have their own opinion. This is the part, though.
So like, what did Sark say now?
Dude, so he's talking to this Orange Blood guy and he said, quote, there's a team in our state that plays in another conference that has a schedule that I would argue if I played with our twos and threes, we could go undefeated.
Are they taking shots at Texas Tech?
And they'll probably make the college football playoff this year. Steve Sarkisian just off the top rope out of nowhere to Texas Tech saying if we played in the Big 12 with our twos and threes,
that was Texas
we would
Tech
go undefeated.
Turn around and say, hey, anytime you want to scrap one of your patsies and let's go,
you ready for this?
We'll meet you in Amarillo.
So this led to, I've never been that big of a Sark guy. The redemption story is fine. He just, I don't know, he seems kind of like a jackass. There's a video of him in Texas years ago yelling at a guy for putting his hand, like, when the team's getting ready to take the tunnel, you can go find it. Guy's like, you got to hold on, coach, can't go yet. And he's like screaming in this guy's face, get your bleeping hands off me. He just, like, he seems like a peach,
he's
right?
A bro.
This led to literally everybody dunking on Texas for multiple reasons. Like, on
they
the one hand, yeah, dude, the Big 12's easier to win than the Big 12. Guess who could have had that? Luxury.
Yeah, you could have stayed.
You left the conference.
You took the bag.
You were in the Big 12. And this then, so, and the idea, like, Sark coached in the Big 12. You know how many Big 12 titles they won when Sark was there?
Zero.
They were, in his years at Texas, in the Big 12, 17-10 in Big 12 play under Sark. 17-10. Like, what are we doing? And then it's some of the other ones that came through. So Cody Campbell, who was the big-time booster for Texas Tech.
Right.
Saw this and was like, schedule us then.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it for years. We're more than willing to play you. Are you going to do it? Probably not. The idea that you were in a conference that you could have won, decided to leave because you wanted to get paid more money, and then you go to the new conference. It's harder to win now in the new conference. You look back and say, man, but the Big 12's so easy, but we should loosen the, you know, scheduling requirements and change the way we analyze teams and strength of schedule. It just, it makes your head spin. It makes you frustrated. From 2010 through 2022.
Oh, here comes the tarps.
Texas. Oh, there it is. There it is. What are we doing? What time's the Oregon game going to start tonight?
I don't know.
9:30?
I warned everybody involved. I was like, listen, this is when it's scheduled for.
Be prepared. What's the projected start time again? Scheduled
7 p.m. Pacific time. 9 p.m. local time.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go.
I'm saying 8:45 p.m. our time, 10:45 p.m. local time.
Oh, my God. There's going to be three people there.
I don't know if
there's any
Duck
o'clock
fans.
At night? Why would anybody? I just hope
because they're supposed to play.
So
if
stupid.
They win, they would play a semifinal game tomorrow afternoon.
Right. It's so stupid. Oh, man. Called that one.
Sorry.
Heading for the. I know.
Interrupt you.
Well,
were
no,
on
I
a
looked
roll.
Up. That happened in the last segment.
Yeah,
I looked
I
up. I'm like, they're all running for the concourse. Why are we? And there it is. Now they're shutting the game down. From 2010 through 2022, Texas won a combined 60-61 in Big 12 play.
Yeah.
60-61. It just. we have never needed somebody in charge who has some level of authority more than we do now. Like in the last segment, somebody said now that something's negatively affecting Oregon, it's the death of the sport. And if that's like, I don't know, if that's the way it came across, I don't know what to tell you. The idea that splitting up different playoffs, having an SEC playoff and an everybody else playoff, or a Big Ten SEC playoff and an everybody else playoff, like that's not just an Oregon thing. In fact, if the SEC were to split off and do their own playoff, now I know Oregon has ironically lost the Big Ten teams in the playoffs the last 2 years in very lopsided fashion. I understand that fact. You know how much easier our pathway is?
Yes.
To make a playoff and win a national championship?
You're going to take out
Alabama, Georgia, like take all those teams.
You will take
LSU,
out two
Ole Miss.
To three teams every year who would legitimately think they have a shot.
Yes.
At winning a title.
Yes. You wouldn't have to play them. Our pathway would become a lot easier. So right. Then I can claim a Husky trophy. I got a half of one, right? Well, I don't care about Georgia.
And then start thinking about Boise State and Oregon State and the Pac-12 and the Mountain West. They're like, go do your own thing.
It's not about negatively affecting Oregon. It's about negatively affecting the entire sport.
The sport.
Our pathway is easier not having to play SEC teams if they wanted to do that. We need somebody in charge who can set a precedent. Like one of the biggest issues I have in college football, and I've ranted about this for years, Indiana just won a national title, so they're allowed to essentially do what they want.
Yeah, when they had to win games, they won games.
What they're doing is egregious, and it's a mockery of the sport. Both things can be true. They're the best team in the sport. They proved it. They went undefeated. But it also showcases that, like, have some balls and play somebody, man. Like, if you're capable of beating Miami in a title game, Oregon twice, Ohio State in a Big Ten, like, go schedule a game that your fans want. Go schedule a game that's good for the sport and not play Indiana State, Old Dominion, and Baylor
School
for the
blind. And I don't necessarily fault Indiana. This is the way the system works.
Yes, Michigan did it 3 years ago when they won their title.
You want to give yourself the best opportunity to win.
Or this Ohio State did it a couple years ago.
This is how you do it.
Now, to be fair to Ohio State, I think that was the year that they were supposed to play Oregon in non-conference, and then that game obviously got scrubbed because of the conference.
Because
and so they had to find a fill-in. So they had one that was scheduled, and then they went and played Texas this year.
There's quirks and weird stuff. But
no doubt about it. This is where we need standardized scheduling. We need a blueprint for every school to follow. You're never going to be able to comp the Big 12 conference play to the SEC or the Big 10. Like, it's just not going to be the same. But you can mandate playing teams in non-conference. You can mandate teams challenging themselves. Let me see. I don't know off the top of my head. Let me see who. I know Texas Tech comes to Corvallis.
Yes.
They are here this year. They obviously hosted them last year. Let's see what their other non-conference games are. Because that would be the one thing I'm like, if I'm in a smaller conference, make that a point of emphasis. Of like, hey, yeah, the Big 12 maybe has three ranked teams at the end of the year. Like, Arizona's been solid.
Arizona
ASU's
State's
been good.
Been
BYU's
good.
Always consistent. Outside of that, it's a bit of a crapshoot. We'll see what happens in places like Kansas State or Cincinnati or Baylor, whatever. And that's where, so they play Abilene Christian, Oregon State, and Sam Houston State. And again, I think a lot of this accelerated quicker than they imagined with the money coming in and like, hey, all of a sudden we're a contender. Kind of similar to Indiana of like, wait a minute, now we're a title contender, but we didn't schedule anybody in non-conference. Like going forward, there
should
be hard
Texas
games on your
said,
schedule.
Hey, we want to play you. They could, whatever the buyout for Abilene Christian
is. Be great for the
is.
Rivalry. Be great for fans to get a regional game. Like, it makes sense for
everybody
to do it.
Or their booster guy would be, I'll pay the buyout for Abilene Christian.
Yeah.
Let's go play them in
week one.
NRG Stadium in Houston.
Yeah. Don't do that. I don't want neutral sites. Make this an on-campus thing, but other than that, I agree with
The only way Texas would do it, they would make them come to Austin all time. And I'm like, you know what? Sark, for shooting your mouth off.
You should have to go play the game.
At least play it on a neutral site. Now, if it's in Texas, everybody can drive to it. It's not like you're going to go play it in Las Vegas.
No.
Where it's totally sterile.
No, it'd be Houston.
I mean,
it'd be Dallas.
You can play
it in
an NFL stadium and everybody can get there.
I love that their big booster, Campbell, was just like, let's do it then, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You would take your shots at us out of nowhere?
Here we go.
You were
Tell
in
us
the conference.
When and where.
You chose to
go
walk away.
Go play it on one of those giant-ass high school stadiums where they spend 80 you know,
got 20,000 seats out there. Let's boost up the local economy here, man. Yeah, you were in the
Call
Big 12.
Call it a recruiting showcase.
When was the last time? This is another fun one to search because there's this idea. And Texas, look, was certainly in a different spot post Mac Brown at the end of their Big 12 run. And Sark has kind of stabilized things and they've become a respectable program again. They didn't win a Big 12 title. Like, when was the last time? I want to see when the last time they won a Big 12 championship was, because they went a long time without winning one in the back end. Texas football title. Because I don't believe that they won one after, like, Colt McCoy. Oh no, they won the last year. That's touche. They won it the last year. So they beat. They won the Big 12 title the year they went to the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
And lost to Washington.
Gotcha.
The time before that though, the last time that they won a Big 12 title was 2009. They went from 2009 until 2023 without winning a conference championship in the Big 12. And now you want to turn around and act like it's an easy conference to win?
Shut up, Sark.
Like, just get out of here, dude. Somebody peed in his Cheerios. He has put, and this is one of the reasons, like, I know my coach, and we've talked about this before, he'll say things in a pregame speech. He'll do the clicks, wins, you know, let's go whoop their ass. Like, you know, he knows the red meat when he finds it and he throws it to his team. I enjoy the fact that he does not, to that level, in terms of public comments, put a target on his team's back. Because I think that's what Sark has done. Lane Kiffin has done a little bit of that this year. Like, why put this microscope on your program? You come out and Ohio State comes to town and whoops up on your ass in week one or week two, whenever that game is, because it's early in the year. They're going down to Austin this year. Everybody's just going to turn around and laugh. Like, could win that game if you're in the Big 12, huh? It makes you look dumb. It's a mockery of it. You were in the conference. You left. Don't turn around and take shots at them, especially when you were the head coach at the end of the tenure. Ludicrous to me that he would do that. Let's stick in college football. I got a couple more things out of the college football world I want to get to. Locally speaking, one of it is good news for Oregon State and Washington State, and I'll tell you what that is and why it is good news, because some numbers have come out. And it showcases what the new PAC conference is doing. Also, Dante Moore sharing some thoughts about his decision to return for another year with Pete Nakos of On3 and some of the thought process that went in for him and deciding to do that. And a guy who continues to grab some headlines in the post-spring recap of Oregon football. So, little Duck and Beaver football talk. We'll get to that next. 105.1 FM The Fam.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Got some football odds and ends in the final hour. One team favored in 15 of their games, which was a surprise to me. Also a funny response to a longtime broadcaster who applied for a job. Tell you who that was coming up final hour of the show. I think we will spread the line today. Why not? We got 3 days worth of stuff to gamble on. You know, I'm having a decent little week. I took a bath on the PGA Championship. Aaron Rye totally screwed me. Royally.
Yeah, that
I had money on so many guys with decent-sized payouts, and Aaron Rye just out of left field did not have anything on him. And the payout would have been great if you bet on Aaron Rye.
Was it like 290 to 1 or something?
Oh, dude, it was that. Yeah. Damn it.
Not 29 to 1.
Plus. Would have been a nice little payday. I did not have that payday, but we'll spring along. We'll do that. It's a fun little Friday going into a three-day weekend. So that's coming up in the final hour of the show as well. Let me get you set. It's one of those weird weekends where we're off on Monday, and so the way the sports landscape looks is going to be unique come Tuesday. Because
yes.
You have game tonight and then Sunday night in the West, so it could be 3-1, could be 2-2. We don't know. The Eastern Conference Finals might be done.
They
play
over
Saturday night and Monday night, and so we might be talking about the Knicks in the NBA Finals come Tuesday's show. So we'll get to a little weekend preview coming up a little bit later on here in the final hour, which is right around the corner. I do have a Duck and a Beaver topic to throw at you here quickly, and I thought this was pretty cool. Like, to the point, we had a Cougar fan text in and said, or chimed in and said, on the idea of the SEC doing their own playoff. He was like, I kind of hope that the Big Ten and the SEC do their own thing. I'm in the minority as a WSU alum, but I'd rather win Division I, you know, AA national title than have to go to a playoff and get crushed by Georgia or Oregon State. And I certainly understand that perspective. If that's the way you want it to look, I don't blame you at all for it. Reminds me a little bit of the debate we had years ago about, like, Oregon in the playoff or the Rose Bowl. Would you rather go win the Rose Bowl or lose by 50 to LSU in the playoff, which they would have?
Yep.
And everybody had a different, you know, no, I'd rather make the playoff because it's prestigious, or no, I'd rather win a Rose Bowl because I remember it. So everybody's got a different perspective on that. But I thought this was telling. So somebody filed, I don't know who it was off the top of my head, but it came out on
Freedom of Information Act request.
On the highest football. So they basically filed it to all group of six schools. And what is your football, how much are you spending on football?
Right.
What is your football budget? And some of the teams that showed up on this list were pretty surprised. Like, do you care to guess the biggest football budget? Now, again, I don't know if any of this has to do with firing coaches or stadium renovations, that kind of stuff, but who has the highest football budget from last year?
My initial instincts would be either a military academy, Hawaii. because of all the travel and all the extra crap they got to go through.
Okay, okay.
And then who takes it actually the most seriously?
Right,
who's got... I'm trying to think, because some of the teams that used to be in there, like Central Florida's not in there anymore.
No, they're
in
not.
The Big 12.
Now in the Big 12.
Or the ACC or whatever the hell they're
in. Yeah, it's Big 12. You're right. doesn't make any sense, but they should be in the
ACC. So I would guess a military academy or Hawaii.
Okay. Neither one shows up in the top 16, but it's not a bad guess. The Hawaii one's not bad because of the travel that goes into it. Number one on this list by a pretty significant margin is Colorado State. Their football budget from last year.
How much of that is...
That's what I didn't know. Stadium, because I know they just built a new stadium.
Yeah, are they paying like debt payments or whatever
and
on
I'm
that?
I'm pretty sure that they fired Jay Norvell. Isn't Jay Norvell gone from Colorado State?
I thought so,
but I'd have to go check my fired coach hot board. $37 million, just shy of $38 million, was their football budget. But this is going to start being a theme. And so what conference is Colorado State now in? Eh?
Yeah, Pac-12.
Come on home, Pac-12. That is the theme of this, and that's why I thought this was interesting.
Does that include maybe buyout stuff?
It could. It's not all just new Pac-12 teams or Pac-8 teams or whatever we're calling it. $37 million. Number two on this list is South Florida, who is still playing at the lower level in the American Conference, if I'm not wrong there.
Yes.
$33 million for them. Number three on this list, to the part that you asked about, like, who takes it seriously, Boise State is third on this list.
Oh, Jim Moore is their new coach. Jim Moore Jr.
That's right.
So
at Colorado
I wonder if they,
State.
There's, like, a big bonus or something to pay out.
Could have been it, because that's a pretty big gap, right? $37 million to $33 million is 1-2. That's significantly higher. There's only three schools who are in the 30s. It is Colorado State, South Florida, and Boise State
Boise
is third.
State, I understand. They take that seriously. There's a lot that goes into it. They probably have more support staff, other things going on.
Yep.
I know that I thought I saw something. They're putting in new turf. They redid the blue turf.
They did. You could go buy a chunk of it if you want.
So that's obviously a one-time expense that is going on.
In terms of cool things that you could buy, the turf from your school is pretty cool.
I think blue especially
turf.
If you went to Boise State, like the blue turf would be cool.
And it stands out because if you just buy a normal run-of-the-mill turf.
What was it, like a 1 square foot?
I can't remember what the price was.
I wouldn't want it to be like a little like swatch.
You could buy,
thing.
I think, as much as you want. Like if people could do like a 10 by 10 or,
cut
you know.
You off a thing.
Yeah, whatever you want to buy, you just got to pay for it.
Put that on your back patio or whatever.
That'd be pretty sweet for like a man cave rug, would it not?
Yeah,
that'd
could I badass. Get something that's got a bit of the Bronco or something?
Do I got to clean out the little pebbles, though? How does that work? Do I got little pebbles now floating all over the place?
Well,
can I shake it out and get rid of them?
I would think you could shake it out.
You would think so, right?
You wouldn't need, you're not playing out. You're just walking on it.
Right,
you don't,
I'm not getting, you know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I am. Maybe I'm tackle footballing in my basement
are we
now,
starting?
You know?
Are we starting the
education front? Me and Teddy, we're lining up.
There
Oklahoma
you go,
drill.
Oklahoma drill.
Now, before bedtime. Boise State was third. Memphis, fourth on the list. Big drop-off, $30 million to $24 million, third to fourth. Then, hey, how about those Bees?
There you go.
I was supposed to have a drop here, but I didn't pull one up. In the meantime,
there we go.
Oregon State, number five on the list, $23 million. Texas State, number six on the list, also in the 23s.
Yeah.
So Oregon State's 23.8, Texas State 23.1. The Cougs come in at seventh at 22.8. San Diego State, eighth, 22.2. Utah State, ninth, 22. And then UNLV, 10th at 21.7.
Okay.
And I think the takeaway here was, one, Colorado State, I'm curious what that is, to your point. Is it a coach salary? Is it firing? Is it stadium debt?
Yeah, does that include debt on whatever you did for the new state? I mean,
are you just that serious about football? Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know
where you put that in your budget or how those silos work. But them being one was a surprise to me. But I think the other big takeaway was, when you look at this top 10, again, sans Memphis and UNLV and South Florida, right? I think 7 of the 10 are in what conference?
Yeah.
And so it's just this idea of the group of six getting the automatic bid that will not go away no matter what the playoff format looks like. You're going to have a very strong case, and you're amongst the highest spenders now of the level that you're playing at. Doesn't guarantee success. Just the more you put in does not mean the more you get out of it. That's not the way that it always works. But I just, if I were an Oregon State fan, I would be encouraged by that. And also to the idea, and I remember being a little controversial at the time because there's no history there, and they just recently made a move up from a lower level. This was the part of the Texas State move that I liked. You're going into a football area that they love it and they breathe it.
They have.
They care about it.
They are
investing in it,
more and more in that. And I think that's, you know.
Like, they have a higher football budget than Washington State.
Yeah.
Which maybe if I'm Washington State, I'm a little bit concerned about. But the fact that they're already spending 23 and basically neck and neck with Oregon State.
I got to find out if their announcer. So a few years ago, Texas State came basketball. The Pilots hosted their own little tournament Thanksgiving time.
I remember that a couple years ago, yeah.
And the Texas State broadcaster. Now, I don't have an inside voice.
Oh.
And you can imagine for Texas State, and I don't know who else came, like Florida A&M and somebody else, we weren't exactly packing the Child Center.
It's a little empty.
He was so loud.
Like yelling the whole game?
The
if you
game.
Think somebody's loud, that means they're loud.
Yeah.
That means there's a volume problem.
And I just want to see if that's the same dude.
Was he giving you some of these?
Look at this, look at that.
Junior Room Daddy!
No. And he had, look at that. He had a big booming voice. He had a big announcer voice.
Yeah.
But he was just, yeah, he was letting it fly.
And people in the top like, row of the stadium, if you were sitting there, you could hear him call the game.
Yeah.
I was like, get that guy on the horn.
I was like, am I like? I mean, I know is I'm excited, that, yeah. But I'm like,
is that what I sound like?
That's even a little much.
Does Oregon State play Texas State this year?
Do you I would the think they got to play everybody in
Touché,
conference.
Touché, right? You might even have to play a team twice. That's a good point. Let me go
Hang
find.
On, let me find the Beavs schedule.
Well, I love that note about their announcer. They are in Texas State. Corvallis, yeah.
Yeah.
On what's the date? End of the season, sometime in November.
Yeah, they haven't.
But November 7th. It looks like
there you go
is the projected date. November 7th. Text. It just like they care about it. They're going to invest in it. That's one of the reasons why you make that move.
Yeah.
The other part of it too was looking at it and saying, what was UNLV thinking? What are we doing, UNLV?
I don't know.
All the best
I don't
teams
know.
In the Mountain West are gone. You're in a major market. Like you hired Dan Mullen. They're investing. They're a top 10 spender at that level.
I don't
level.
Know how
Why
much of that
not?
Was related to Reno,
the Nevada thing.
To the
yeah.
how much political stuff got involved, or if they were trying to pull Reno with them to go, and they didn't want. I don't know.
Yeah,
and I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, if you could get UNLV, there's nothing wrong with Nevada Reno. Steve Alford's coaching basketball there. I don't know how many people know that basketball wise.
Just take them both, get the state of Nevada. Come
I don't know
over.
Why you wouldn't do that.
You need a teams anyways. That's a nice media market to have. That's about to add. Like the progress they're making on the A stadium is pretty wild. They're building that thing pretty rapidly in Vegas. So, yeah, that one just doesn't make any sense to me. But I thought that was good news for the Group of Six level. They're clearly investing more than the other teams at that Group of Six level. 7 of the 10 biggest spenders in football are in the new Pac-12 conference. Encouraging news at least a little bit there for Oregon State. Lots to get to. I didn't get to my Dante Moore stuff. That might get shuffled around the notes and saved for next week. Not groundbreaking, just interesting to hear some thoughts about his return to Oregon for another year that he told Pete Nakos. Lots to get to in the final hour. We will spread the line. Got a lot to gamble on this weekend. We got to get you set. Lots of preview this weekend. We got the Western Conference Finals continuing tonight. Where does the series go from here? All sorts of guys are questionable for it. I got some odds and ends out of the National Football League, including one guy applying for a job and a team sending him a very funny response. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM The Fam.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.